Greetings, I'm Edward Juan Lynam, aka Dr. JD, and welcome to my video blog, How to Win a Murder Trial, and podcast, Criminal Justice Today, that's syndicated on anchor.fm. This episode 8 is my second in a three-part series on race, mass media, and the law. That follows episode 7, where I left off talking about the era or period of enlightenment. It was this period of enlightenment when scientists introduced theories that God didn't create the heavens and the earth, but instead, the Big Bang Theory, as we've all heard about, that the earth was created millions of years ago, and that God didn't create Adam and Eve, but instead, man evolved from the ape. A scientific theory called evolution that they purport occurred over the span of millions of years. I also spoke about how these same scientists debunked our fundamental Christian beliefs and orthodoxy that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who was supernatural and performed supernatural miracles like healing the blind and resurrecting himself from the dead to again ascend to heaven. Scientists of that time during the period of enlightenment didn't believe any of these things. It's why I laid that foundation so that you will understand that you have people who believe these things, but yet still they call themselves Christians when they're anything but Christians. In fact, we're going to learn in this episode that they are what's called deists. The people who believe these things and adopted these scientific beliefs during the time were called deists. And the type of religion that comes out of being a deist is called deism. And folks who have different variations of this belief, they're called different types of what's called natural religion. Anything but Christianity. Although many who practice deism, many who practice these different forms of natural religions still call themselves Christians and associate with different Christian denominations, although they don't believe that Jesus Christ is their Savior and that through belief in Jesus Christ and his teachings is the way to heaven. They don't believe these things. Therefore, we know if they don't believe these fundamental precepts and tenets of Christian orthodoxy, then they're not Christian. So I had to lay that foundation before getting into the 55 members of our United States Constitutional Convention, which occurred after the American Revolution, were almost all deists, except for perhaps Alexander Hamilton. I know that sounds like a tough pill to swallow, but it's true. Now, when we study the history and the biography of these 55 members of the United States Constitutional Convention, we learn that they all associated with a denomination of Christianity. However, when we dig deep into the books, the biographies, and learn more about them, we learn that they were all mostly deists, meaning they practiced a religion called deism, or another form of the same that's commonly referred to as a natural religion. And deism and these natural religions, again, are not Christianity, because, again, these people do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior and the path to heaven, the fundamental tenet to Christianity. Therefore, these people were not Christians. So that's why I had to lay the foundation in episode 7, why the racists of yesterday as well as today, many of whom identify with being called a white Christian evangelical or white Christian nationals, who harbor sentiments of racism, who feel that because of the color of their white skin, they are superior, they are racist. They are not Christians. They do not believe in the fundamental precepts and tenets of Christianity, that God made all of us in his image and he made all of us equal. And the fact that the term race is not found in the Bible, unlike the term ethnos, ethnicity, which means the nation that you're from. So again, race is a term and a concept that came out of this period of enlightenment, that came from these scientists of the time, because we should know, if we are truly biblical scholars, that is mentioned nowhere in the Bible. God only made one race, and that is the human race. My ethnicity in the United States of America is not African American. How could it be when my grandmother was accepted as a white woman and my great grandmother was a Native American? How could my ethnicity or race be black? The answer to that question is, it can't. And that's why all of this scientific nonsense was fabricated during the 16th century, during this period or era of enlightenment. You all already know from the introduction to this video blog series that I studied in Spain for a year and became fluent in Spanish. While studying at the university there, being taught by white-skinned teachers, I quickly learned from them that I wasn't black and I wasn't African American. To them, I wasn't a race. To them, I was an ethnicity. And my ethnicity is American, period. Folks, this isn't my opinion. I'm not making this up. These aren't facts that are hidden in a history book somewhere. This stuff is written in historical literature everywhere. The problem here in the United States is white supremacists take advantage of both illiteracy and the fact that they control everything that goes into the history books that we are taught in the public school system here in the United States of America. I'm going to repeat that because today we understand mass media as being what we see on television, the radio, newspapers, magazines, as well as what we see now on social media as mass media. So what's written in books in American as well as European and African literature that we can easily find at our local public library is no longer the mass media of the day. And because we largely no longer utilize the past form of mass media, that being books and written literature, the newer forms of mass media, television, radio, and now social media magazines have all been able to influence the way we think, as well what we think is true and what we believe. But we will all know better if we just spent the time to read and research for ourselves at our local public library. And the bigger the library, the better, because you'll see this stuff isn't found in just one book. It's found in a series of many, many books that covers American history and literature. You know, it takes everything in my soul when someone tells me to go look at a YouTube video that they looked at as proof of some type of history or something that is true and occurred in the past. I can only shake my head when someone tells me to go look at a freaking YouTube video versus their ability to go and point me to a book, a piece of literature, where in it I can find their source of the information, where they cite, where they're getting the information from. But instead, people are talking about, go look at this YouTube video, instead of saying, hey, go look at this book, this literature, this piece of documented history that's been around for hundreds of years, versus something that some idiot posted on YouTube a couple years ago. It literally takes everything in me to keep from calling these people demented, retarded fools by being so easily influenced by something they hear in a mere YouTube video versus something they can read and source from themselves that comes from a public library, a place of credibility. But I digress. Getting back to our founding fathers and the fact that most of them weren't really Christians but for Alexander Hamilton, and the fact that the majority of the 55 members of our Constitutional Convention were deists or believers in some other type of natural religion versus Christianity. Although they associated themselves with a denomination of Christianity, they were not Christians. And that's because they did not accept Jesus Christ as their personal savior and did not believe most of the major tenets and premises of Christian orthodoxy. So again, I encourage you to not take my word for it, but go to the library. Don't go to YouTube or the internet. But go to a big library and pull as many books and biographies on those 55 members of our United States Constitutional Convention to learn more in detail about them, to read for yourself that these people had beliefs that were not in line with Christianity, although still associating themselves with Christian denominations. So I'm imploring you to do the reading and the research for yourself, especially before I get into this third part of this Race, Mass Media, and the Law series, where I transition from laying the foundation that things written in books and periodicals of yesteryear was the mass media of the time that was used to influence the way we think, or more so, the way that white people thought. Because we know in yesteryear, it was illegal to teach slaves here in the United States of America how to read. And with that said, now you're understanding why it was illegal to teach slaves how to read. Because in yesteryear, you didn't have all the propaganda of today. In yesteryear, all you had was, for the most part, the truth as well as these new scientific theories that was coming out of the period and era of enlightenment that dealt with deism, these scientific theories that attack Christianity. And thus, if you were able to read, you would have the whole truth and the ability to make a decision of whether you're going to stick with what you knew to be in the Bible and the fundamental precepts of Christianity, or whether you were going to believe what was coming out of this era of Charles Darwin, which were all of these scientific methods and theories that attacked everything we know to be true about Christianity. And if slaves were taught to read, they could easily see for themselves the hypocrisy between what whites were teaching as Christian beliefs that they could read for themselves in the Bible, and how these scientific concepts and beliefs that were coming out of the era of enlightenment propagated by Charles Darwin and other scientists were opposed to Christian beliefs. Slaves would have been able to read these things and pick apart the hypocrisy right there on the spot. So hopefully now it's all starting to make a little bit more sense, and why our nation wasn't founded as a Christian nation, but why it's clear in our United States Constitution of why our nation was built upon religious liberties and religious freedoms. It wasn't to protect Christianity and Christian beliefs. No, it was created to protect all of these perversions of Christianity. It was created to protect deism, these natural religions that were absolutely antithetical to Christian orthodoxy and Christian beliefs. The fundamental Christian belief being that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and He and believing in Him is the only way to heaven, as well as with many other fundamental Christian beliefs. Our U.S. Constitution is written the way it is for religious tolerance and religious freedom because these people were no longer Christians. So when they created the United States Constitution, they carved out these religious liberties for their protection from actual Christians who knew that they weren't Christians, who knew that they were perverting Christianity. But the way the law is written in the United States Constitution provides them cover. And that's why the First Amendment to the United States Constitution is written the way it is. Because our founding fathers were not Christians, although associating with Christianity. They were deists. They were believers in other natural religions. And to protect their beliefs, they hijacked Christianity and hid under denominations of Christianity, which we know as of today is what we're largely seeing as the evolution that's become white Christian evangelicalism as well as nationalism. When I return to conclude the last of this three-part series on race, mass media, and the law, I'm going to talk about the 1915 film called Birth of a Nation that was originally called The Klansman, and how that film was the first of its kind. The first because that began the transition from reading books to watching things on television before we started to listen to radio. This black and white film that had no sound was the transitional film from books to media as we know it today. Media where we look and we listen versus reading and writing. Then I'm going to bring it all together to how since 1915, the Ku Klux Klan has used mass media as we know it today, and now social media, to propagate racism and theories of white supremacy. Their most powerful tool for promoting and sustaining white supremacy and domestic terrorism here in the United States of America. That's all for part two of this episode on race, mass media, and the law. I'll be back very soon with episode three, the conclusion. Until then, I'm Dr. JD. Thank you for watching, and goodbye.